be mindful to them, apply them correctly as far as they are to work in our lives, Lord, and not only practically, but doctrinally as well. And we pray these things for Christ's sake, Lord. Amen. So last week we were looking at this doctrine of the standing of a believer in Christ, and how hopefully, you know, we rightly divided it in regards to the parts of a man or woman, in that every person has a body, soul, and spirit. And that if you're saved, there's a part of you right now that never sins, and there's a part of you that sins, and there's a part of you that makes a choice whether or not to sin or not. Okay? And so that part of you that makes the choice, whether it sin, whether your body, you're going to go the way of your flesh or go the way of the spirit, is responsible for which way you go. But because of Calvary, that part that makes the choice is pardoned, and in turn, your whole being is pardoned at a later time. And so we're so grateful for the promises of eternal security, that once you're saved, once you've made the choice to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to, that good work that started in you is going to be performed until the day of redemption, and we're so grateful for that. But and the things that you do right, the things that you do according to the Spirit here on this earth, by allowing the Lord to work in your life or in our lives, and the things that you do right now will be rewarded at a later time, right? And we know that's going to happen, and that's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, and that is where you're rewarded for what you do in this body here on this earth. Whether you follow the flesh, you lose rewards for following the flesh. Rewards you could have gotten had you walked in the Spirit. And so, are you going to get whipped and beat for sinning? I don't see how that's going to happen in heaven. I don't see that in the Bible. And the reason why is because your sins are already paid for. And so Jesus Christ took upon the payment of your sin at Calvary. Is He going to punish you for sinning in heaven? No, I don't believe that. I believe you get chastised here on this earth for making the wrong choices because of fellowship reasons, because the Lord wants to have fellowship with you. But as far as you getting punished in heaven and whipped and beaten and all this stuff, folks, come on. Christ went through all that for us. He did. He got beaten. He got whipped. His blood was shed for everyone. Okay? And so be sure that when you get to heaven, you know what you're going to be rewarded for? The things that you did right in this body. The things that you did according to the Spirit. The way you walked. You're going to get rewarded for that, or you're going to take a loss for not doing the things that you should have done. But is it going to be beating and whipping? No, I just don't see that, folks. So now the person that makes all this possible for you to live right is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not only a child of God today if you're saved because of God's love, but you're a child of God because of His love, right? We are. We're a child of God because of His love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? And 1 John 3:1, right here. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, right? It's because of His love that you can be called a child of God today. Now, right now, this body has limitations. This flesh loves to be pleased. It's ungodly, and it's unholy. And when Christ comes back, every part of your being will be holy, and we will be godly, right? We will be godly. That is if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, because we will be like Him. right? We'll be like him. And the day that he returns. And that's found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, right? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Jesus Christ is holy, and Jesus Christ is godly, and Jesus Christ doesn't sin. He doesn't sin, and he never had. He never has sinned. And so, in the meanwhile, as we wait for Christ's return, if you're looking for his return, you will be purifying yourself. You'll be purifying yourself of ungodliness and unrighteousness or sin. That is in each and every one of us, folks. We carry around the old man still. And we went through that last week. But we carry around this body of death, this sin nature that we have in this flesh. And we carry it around. And let's face it, nobody wants to be in the act of sin. If you're saved and you're a Christian and you're looking for Jesus Christ's return, nobody with that type of mindset wants to be in some sort of sin when Jesus Christ returns. If you're, unless you're cuckoo, right? I mean, did you want to be in a position when Dad came home? Did you want to be in a position where you were doing something wrong? No. Nuh-uh. Not when he could pull a piece of trim off the board. That don't break too easy. Piece of trim. You got to take the nails out, of course, but it's very, very flexible, and it does the job. It stings better than a belt, right? My dad made a mistake one time, and I probably shouldn't say this, but anyway, somebody made a mistake one time, and they used a belt. Well, the belt wrapped around. And it puts a mark in the front. They didn't make the mistake the next time. The trim came off the wall. But anyway, but nobody wants to be in that in an environment of sin when your Savior returns. Just like you don't want to be in a position of sin in a position of wrongdoing when Dad came home and when you were a child. So, and nobody wants that. And the only way that's going to happen is if you're not walking in the flesh when Jesus Christ returns. The only way that you're not going to be ashamed, I guess I would say, put it that way, according to the Bible, naked and ashamed for a brief moment in time, is if you're walking in the flesh when Jesus Christ returns, or walking in the Spirit when Jesus Christ returns. You don't want to be walking in the flesh, because the flesh is gone, huh? Well, the reason why you're confessing them here is because there's fellowship broken, and you can't walk with the Lord while you're committing acts of sin. You see what I'm saying? And that grieves the Holy Spirit and things like that while you're here on this earth. But when those sins are paid for as far as your soul is concerned, and as far as your new body that you're going to get is concerned. Now, your old body, the old nature that's here, will reap the benefits of sin. There's a reaping and sowing of sin. And later on in heaven, the whole being is deprived of rewards it could have gotten if you stay in that in sin. You stay sinning. You could be doing right. You've got the choice all the time. Do right or do wrong. And when you make the wrong choice and you do wrong, there's a loss there that you're going to receive in heaven because you could have made the righteous choice and got a reward. You see how that works? So right now, yeah, your sins are paid for as far as judgment at a later time. Can't be judged for that. But right now here, hey, the Lord wants to have fellowship with you. And if you don't judge yourself, then there's chastisement that has to be put upon a child of God to get them right. So that there's a walk, because he wants you to reap all the rewards in heaven. He does. The Lord wants you to have everything he's got for you. Everything he wants to give you. And sometimes you get the little prod, right? As a child of God, you get a little spanking here and there to get you right. And hopefully it puts you on the narrow path. And so, but that's found in 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he's pure. Why? Because you're looking for his return. Okay? Now, if you're a child of God, we are to know that anything that goes against the law of God is sin. Anything. And right now, a child of God can sin. And Jesus Christ was manifest to take away that sin. Right? And it is. It's gone. And when we sin as a child of God, the way to get that right is to confess it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember how Jesus Christ gave the example about forgiveness. If your brother trespasses against you 7 times, remember the disciples asked the question, 7 times, and Jesus says 7 times 70, right? That's a lot of times. And we confess, Jesus forgives. We go back, broken fellowship, we confess, Jesus forgives. Constantly forgives. Even if it's the same thing. The same thing. If a person sins against us 1 time and they say, okay, well, I could you forgive me? Yeah, sure. And then they do the same thing 5 minutes later, we're kind of weary about that. Right? We really don't want, we're like, whoa, how could you be sorry about that? And then you turn around 10 minutes later and do the same thing. But Jesus Christ sees it. Once the confession, you forsake that, even if it's for a minute. And then you break it, you go back. See how that works? He just keeps forgiving. And when we as in our natural state here, we have a hard time doing that. But Jesus Christ, he's the example, and he's constantly forgiving. But he was manifest to take away our sins. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And not only that, but he shows us how to live. He shows us how to live a sinless life. And that is by abiding in him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Right? We're to abide in him. And that's walking in the Spirit. And we, why? Because we know that he is sinless. Verses 5 and 6. And we know that he was manifest to take away sin, and in him is no sin. So the only way not to sin, to abide in him. To abide in him. And that's to walk in the Spirit. Now, there are people out there that are led by the devil, that want to deceive us into thinking that it's okay to sin. And sometimes we deceive ourselves into thinking that it's okay to sin. And we went through those passages. But folks, even we, listen, 1 John is saying, don't be deceived. John is telling us, don't be deceived, right? Don't be deceived. If you're doing righteousness, it's because you're yielding to the leading of God. The leading of God that's in you. The hope of glory. Who is righteous. That's what he's saying here. And if you're doing sin, it's because you're yielding to the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now there are those unsaved people that are of the devil, and that's because they didn't obey the command to believe on the Son. And there are saved people that are children of God, and they are the ones that didn't transgress the law, right? When the law came to them, they didn't transgress. That is that they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. 1 John 3, verses 8 and 9. He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Right? Verse 23. of 1 John 3. Look at that. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Okay? Now remember that. Remember that as we keep going. Verse 10. That's where we left off last week. Verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, folks, what we have to realize here is that God knows who his children are, regardless of how far down, right, the sin road a person goes. He knows. And if you're a child of God, it will be made manifest by what you believe. That's how it's made manifest. A person does righteousness by believing on God's dear Son. That's how he does righteousness. And righteousness is counted to him for that. And that gets manifest to other believers in Christ. It does. By what you believe. It's very easy to be able to find out what somebody believes by just asking them a few questions. And if you don't hear certain things... If you hear things like, well, I was baptized, or, well, the first thing that comes to somebody's mind is I never killed anybody. Come on. Come on. If somebody is truly saved, they're going to say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm saved. And it's because of what he did, not because of anything that I can do. And so the same Christian, even though he's a child of God through faith, can appear not to love his brother. And so the manifestation is to other Christians is that he's not a child of God. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he isn't. Because God knows in the heart if he's believed on him, right? But because of the way he's treating his brother in Christ, right? Well, the brother in Christ is like, man, I can't believe that guy's even trusted Lord. I can't believe it. It's hard to believe because the love of Christ is not being made manifest to others. But God knows who he is. God knows if he's been saved or not. But the fact of this matter is here, folks, that a saved person can allow sin to run his life to the point where he forgets that he's even saved. And that's the Bible. The Bible tells us that. He doesn't even recognize anymore that he's a child of God. It's not even manifest to him anymore that he's a child of God. And that's what sin can do. Look, if you would, in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. Verses 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Right? We've been given a new creature. We're a new creature now. We've got a divine nature. We've got God in us. Right? And so, divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Right? Living a godly life. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Once you get some of those internal sins and some of those external sins away from you, right? Be kind to your brother in Christ. Brotherly kindness, charity, right? And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. That's an outward love for the brethren, for people. And if these things be in you and abound, They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. You could forget about, hey, we just sung, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Folks, when you're a believer in Jesus Christ, do you know when you need to start looking at the blood of Jesus Christ again? When you take your eyes off of it. Because then it starts to lose its power in your life. Look and live. Remember that? Look and live. Hey, the blood of Jesus Christ only has to be applied to your life once. But you got to constantly look at it. You got to constantly look at it. Because if you don't, you'll go down a sin road and you'll forget that you were ever even purged from your sins. And guess what's happening? Now you're not loving your brother anymore. And now you're being mean to your brother in Christ. And now it's not manifest to other Christians that you were ever even saved. See how that could, how far you could go? But it will be manifest in your life that you love, that you are a believer, and that you were a child of God, if you love the brethren. Because people want to see results. They do. God needs to see it in the heart. But man, he needs to see it on the outward. Or he's not going to believe you. He's just not, folks. Now, in the tribulation, it is going to be very obvious who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. It will be manifest by what they believe. And it will be manifest by how they treat each other, their brothers. And that will be brought up at the judgment of the nations, how they treated their brothers. That'll be brought up there. And those that treated them bad showed, and it showed not only to the world, but showed it to God that they didn't have the right belief in their heart, or they wouldn't have treated them that way. Okay? Now, verse 11, John chapter. I hope that makes sense. Does that kind of make sense? John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, right? Again, loving God, right, and loving neighbor is the message from the very beginning. Back in the Garden of Eden. It's the very beginning. It was manifested that Cain didn't love God by what he believed when he was supposed to do. And he didn't do it. And it was manifested that he didn't love God and that he didn't love his brother. He didn't. And that was from the very beginning. Why did God give Moses the Ten Commandments? And what, you know, you remember what they are. Maybe not every one, but you can kind of see that God is first in those sets of commandments, and man is second in those sets of commandments. And so those Ten Commandments were given so that people would love God, and it would be made manifest by how they love their neighbors, by what they didn't do to them, right? And not only was it in the beginning, and then in the garden, it was brought up in the Ten Commandments with Moses, and then it was brought up by Jesus again, right? In Matthew. Matthew 22. Jesus taught it while he was on earth. When the question was brought up to him, what's the great commandment? Chapter 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus teaches it. And Jesus is God. And he's teaching it while he's on earth. Not only that, but Paul teaches it. Look, if you would, in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 13. The Bible says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know why it could be fulfilled like that? In the one thing, all the law is fulfilled in one word, all of it. That's, you know what? Loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind is fulfilled in that one commandment. Because if you don't do this, you can't do this. You can't. But if you did this, then you're going to do that. And so if you love God, you're going to do that because that's what he wants. But if you don't love God, you can't love your neighbor. And so that's why it's able to be fulfilled there. Not only that, look if you would in Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians 4. I know we've already gone through it and we could probably just skip over this, but you know what? The mind just likes to forget things. It does. It happens with me all the time. And I got to constantly be reminded, or guess what? I could be one mean dude. And I used to be. And I mean mean. Mean. Ephesians 4, verses 1. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of all of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lovingness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. That's Paul. Paul's teaching it. And so, not only did Paul teach this, but that's what made Paul rejoice. He rejoiced in this. Look, if you would, in Philippians. Philippians 2. A couple pages over. 2:1. The Bible says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Paul rejoiced in that, right? He looked forward to hearing about his converts loving each other. He did. Look, if you would, in Colossians, Philippians, Colossians, a couple pages over. 1, verses 3. The Bible says, we give thanks to God and to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints. He looked forward to hearing about this. And he gave thanks to God for it. Because if it wasn't for God, there would be none of that. If they didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be no love. No love there. Again, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. They're growing. And they're loving each other. And that's how we're supposed to live, folks. And this is not only the godly way to live, but it's the Christian way to live. It is. And John the Apostle of love reiterates it. What's been taught from the very beginning. It's reiterated again and again. Now, of course, there's a balance there that needs to be understood, and that's that we're not to be all doctrine and no love, and we're not to be all love and no doctrine, because the Lord hates some things, folks. And we're told not to love this world. We're told not to love this world. There's some things we're not supposed to love, but your neighbor and others is not one of them. Okay, it's not one of them, and so we got to keep that balance there. What time is it? I got 10 minutes. 1 John, we'll go through verse 12, and then we'll be done. Maybe. 1 John 3:12, the Bible says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now, why is Cain thrown in the mix of these verses here? All right? First John 3:12. Cain is said to be of that wicked one. Now, I got to be careful here. But what does that mean? What does that mean? Those that sin are said to be of the devil. Right? In verse 8 of 1 John chapter 3. Now, is this literal? I'm gonna go this way here. If it is literal, folks, then those people can get saved. Because Cain was given an opportunity to repent. So if these are the literal children of the devil, and the literal children of the wicked one, there's hope for them. There is hope for them. And we can't go around this world looking at people and say, well, it's hopeless for this man because, you know what, he's proven that he's of the devil. Or it's hopeless for this woman because she's probably one of the devil's children. No. Cain was given the opportunity to repent and get right, and he rejected it. He rejected it. And it wasn't until after he rejected it that he slew his brother. And he slew him because of envy, and he slew him because of jealousy, right? And so, you realize something? Every man in this world, folks, is given, every man and every woman is given a chance to get right with God. Everyone. And most reject that opportunity. And so, that's why you see so much hate toward people in this world, because they've rejected the opportunity that God has given them to get right and get saved. And they can't love anybody. And we as Christians, God forbid that we hate our own brothers and hate our own sisters. And you want to see God's hand come down on a child of God real fast? Start hating your brother. And you're going to see he's going to correct you pretty quick, I think. And so we just got to be mindful of that and love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we'll go ahead and stop there for today. And we'll pick this back up and next week. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, you've given us everything that we need to live right, to be a pleasure to you and our fellow man. And we pray, Lord, that we would just continue to look at the blood. And continue to look for your appearing so we can stay, can keep ourselves pure, even as you are pure, Lord. And that we can be right with our God and our fellow man in this present and evil world. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.